Hello, everyone. Lee Arnold welcoming you back to Country Music Conversations, and our special guest this week is Gail Davies, who has the distinction of being the first female record producer in country music. Add to that her talent as a singer-songwriter, she's really had an impact with both those talents in the 70s and 80s, and she's racked up numerous top 10 and top 20 Billboard hits. She was an influential artist and was a role model for other female singers, including Susie Boggess, Kathy Mattea, Mary Chapin Carpenter, and even Pam Tillis. But before we start this conversation, here are a few words from our sponsor. Country Music Conversations with Lee Arnold's podcast is made possible by our sponsor, MarketSmith, Inc., the digital media agency that's been growing brands like Tumi, SharkNinja, New Jersey Lottery, PSE&G, Blue Mercury Cosmetics, and Dick's Sporting Goods. You know what makes this agency so good at what they do? Because simply being a marketing agency is no longer enough. Solution-based, problem-solving, and ever-evolving, they create enduring value for DTC and B2B brands by opening up and growing marketing channels. Their patented AI offerings, informed by human intelligence, allow them to act with agility and intellect. I was speaking with the CEO not too long ago, and she was saying they take on clients who know who they are, who want to grow, and clients that know what they want. These big brands choose MarketSmith because they want to merge with a partner who'll make them exceptional and an agency that will grow their revenue. Digital marketing is not easy, but MarketSmith, Inc. knows when to make the media dollars work hard for their clients. You have a brand you want to grow? Well, contact MarketSmith.com and tell them Lee Arnold sent you. Gail was born in Oklahoma, and her dad was a popular country singer in the 40s who also appeared on the Louisiana Hayride. Gail grew up in Washington State, where her mother had remarried. But after high school, Gail moved to Los Angeles. She married a jazz musician and briefly sang jazz. She was later hired as a session singer, and she worked with Neil Diamond and Glenn Campbell, among others. She befriended Joni Mitchell, and Joni's recording engineer taught Gail how to produce records. She had an offer to work with Roger Miller and made her debut singing as his partner on the Merv Griffin Show. Gail then began to write songs, and in 1976, she moved to Nashville. She was signed as a staff songwriter to EMI Publishing, and one of her earlier songs, Bucket to the South, was recorded by several artists. She signed with CBS Lifelong Records and released a self-titled album that scored with three top 20 hits, including one of her original compositions called Someone is Looking for Someone Like You. In 1979, Gail signed with Warner Brothers Records, and she became the first female record producer. Her album, The Game, was a top 10 single. The next album she produced, I'll Be There, included three top 10 hits. Her third self-produced album, Giving Herself Away, brought another top 10 hit called Round the Clock Lovin'. Following that, Gail took a short hiatus and gave birth to her son Chris, whose dad is Gary Scruggs, son of the late Earl Scruggs. Her last album for the label was What Can I Say? And that one spawned two top 10 hits, but her chart success started to decline. She signed with RCA in 1984 and released Where Can a Woman Go, which produced two more hit singles, including Jagged Edge of a Broken Heart. She was inspired to form a country rock band by the name of Wild Choir, and they produced one album with that group. She left RCA, then signed with Capitol Records, and left Capitol to sign with MCA Records. She earned a Grammy nomination for her tribute album to Webb Pierce called Caught in the Web. That one featured a who's who of country's best, including Willie Nelson, Emmylou Harris, and even Charlie Pride. Although semi-retired, Gail continues to tour, but mostly in Europe. She released her autobiography titled The Last of the Outlaws in 2011. Our conversation with Gail happened in 1989 in Nashville. It was a great snapshot of her life and career, and she touched on every aspect in a very low-key, appealing way. Here now is Gail Davies.
Lee Arnold visiting with Gail Davies, and it's been a while, Gail.
Hi, it's good to be back.
It's good to have you back, and with a brand new album and a brand new label affiliation and a brand new single with MCA Records.
Yeah, we've got a song out that I've written that I'm real excited about, and it's very country.
I think it'll... Waiting Here for You.
Yeah, Waiting Here for You. There's an interesting story behind this little song. When I wrote it, I thought it sounded too much like something Harlan Howard had written. So I called him at home and played it for him over the phone. And he says, no, it's not my song. I said, because if it's even close to one of your melodies, I'd be proud to put Harlan Howard and Gail Davies on it. He said, no, you cut that song, make a lot of money, and feed that baby, and don't worry about it.
That's wonderful. And the response has been very gratifying. It's right down the middle. It's as country can be. You for a while there, you kind of took another direction and went with a group and formed a group called Wild Choir, which was quite interesting. It was kind of an alternative kind of a musical form, because I guess, was it out of boredom that you did that, or you felt you wanted another musical direction?
Well, no, I always grew up, you know, singing country music. And when I was in high school, I gravitated, of course, you know, with the Beatles. That kind of music, ended up in San Francisco and doing, you know, rock. What I thought at the time was rock, but it was really, you know, country rock. Buffalo Springfield and all of those bands were happening. So I've always had that side of me that I've loved to do. And on the early albums, Good Lovin' Man, for instance, is a song that was in that same vein, you know, kind of a country rock.
Gail, you are one of those very unusual people in country music that are kind of an every woman. You produce, you write your own material, you sing it, you engineer it, and you've been kind of a pioneer and an innovator in that sense as far as a gal singer is concerned. Not many ladies in country music do that.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot more are doing it. The only thing I don't do is engineer. I wouldn't even begin to say that I do that. But I do know who is a good engineer and who's not. And that's part of production. You know, I know the biggest thing I've learned about producing is that it means knowing who to hire and who not to hire. And if you hire somebody wrong and they don't fit, it's your fault. It's not theirs. That's the biggest thing that I've learned working in the studio. But I love it because I love being able to direct the way the music goes and making sure that it comes out like I want. And I see a lot more women doing that now, you know. When Holly Dunn received her CMA award, she said, I'd like to thank all the producer women who went before me. And I thought, and like who, Holly? I mean, name one. So, but there have been a lot of people in the last 10 years. The first album I produced was in 1979. And... since then, you know, people are very involved in at least the co-production of their own records.
You've been very, very fortunate and also kind of lucky in a great sense of having the luxury of writing a lot of your own material as well. And as you say, picking the finest musicians in the world, to surround you, because you know good pickers when you hear them.
I have been very fortunate to have some great musicians work for me, and great people come through my band. Actually, the other night somebody was saying, mentioning they would bring up someone, Kevin Welch, and I'd say, well, he used to play in my band, or Wally Wilson, he used to play in my band, or Paulette Carlson used to sing in my band, and he says, it seems like everybody here has played in your band, but I've always been fortunate to be surrounded by real talented people that I knew were just passing through and going on their way to their own careers.
Originally, you've had a great, great career in country music. Your first big single many, many years ago was a hit called Someone is Looking for Someone Like You, which you wrote. Autobiographical?
Sort of. I wrote that song to myself. I was feeling sorry for myself one night, and I just started writing. And that song, it was on a I was on a roll that night. I think I wrote six songs. That was one of them. just very simple and straight ahead, just trying to say to myself and to everyone out there that you forget that you have qualities that somebody would appreciate. And I always say, you know, somewhere in the world, there's a man praying for me. So
there's more than one.
Maybe, I hope so. But somebody, you know, it's like I saw a funny movie the other night about this couple that a girlfriend was trying to get this guy friend together with her girlfriend. All through the movie, they never get together. And then they have so many things in common through the whole movie. You see his apartment, his way of life, the music he listens to. And then they end up at the very end getting together by accident, being arrested together. So, you know, you never know. There are always people out there who have, you know, suitable qualities for you.
Also, another wonderful hit of Gail Davies, which everybody remembers, was a song which really, and most of them, they all come from the heart from you, because you write from right, from deep within your soul, whether it's a life experience or something that someone might have, can relate to that didn't actually happen. But Grandma's Song is probably very, very close and probably one of the most touching and sentimental songs that you've ever written. That's probably very close to you. On your current album, there is what would be referred to as a gospel song which you wrote, which is extremely powerful.
Well, it is. I don't really write gospel music, but the song is written in thanks, you know, to Jehovah God for the things that He's helped me to live through. For the stupid mistakes that I've made that He has been able to give me insight on. And, you know, the song is a thank you for that. So, you know, I've found that I can co-write, you know, with people and they bring me an idea. You know, I can focus in on their idea and develop a song. But the best ones are the ones that I've written about my own experiences. They're always the ones that are really true to the bone.
You recited before we got talking a little bit of the lyric and sang a little bit of the lyric, which is just so powerful. One of the verses of that beautifully crafted song that I think everybody can relate to.
I hope so. You know, I think it's very strong. It's going to, of course, bring up a lot of issues, you know, which I won't want to discuss. I heard a story one time about a famous poet at a party. Someone came up to him and said, "I love your poetry. I you know, I read all your stuff." But there was this one line in this poem that I didn't quite understand. "Could you explain it to me?" And he looked at him and said, "If I could have said it better, I would have."
That's beautiful.
And that's sort of the idea of the song. The song to me is a purge and a climax. It's an ending to a very difficult time in my life. I wrote everything I had to say in that song, and there's nothing more to say.
The title is?
Rise and Shine Again.
Can you do a little bit of it?
I will rise and shine again. I'll be on my feet and then I will praise all the mercy that He has shown. That's it.
Beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. And on the album, there are going to be a couple other standout kind of songs that you're proud of in that session, because it's an association with Jimmy Bowen, who is, I kind of refer to him as the wunderkind of Nashville.
Yeah.
He really is. I mean, the all-knowing, all-seeing, soothsaying. I mean, sees all, knows all, tells all, and knows how to do it all as far as a producer is concerned.
You know how he does that? He turns it back on the people.
Right. Creativity. He says, "You're signed, and I'll go ahead and do your job."
Right, right. And that's why he always looks good, see? Because he puts the power in the people's hands and lets them either fall or stand on their own two feet. And that really is important, delegating responsibility and making other people realize that their careers are their own personal problem. And Jimmy is absolutely brilliant with doing that. And, you know, a lot of the fans out there, when I went to the seminar the other night, the disc jockeys were saying, "Oh, we're so glad to have Gail Davies back, and oh, the fans have missed you, and we still play your old songs." The fans need to write a letter to Jimmy Bowen and say thank you, because if it weren't for Jimmy, I wouldn't be coming back. I really had pretty much given up, chalked it off, fed up, disgusted. And Jimmy really encouraged me to write songs and to get back on my feet. So thanks to Jimmy Bowen, there is a Gail Davies album out.
When you're in limbo without a record contract and things kind of end, I guess that would lead you into a little bit of a depression and feeling sorry for myself kind of attitude, and just wanting to give up and saying, the heck with it all.
Well, I've never been without a record deal. I ask RCA for a release from my label deal, and the very day I asked them for the release, I was discussing with Bowen going to MCA. So I never let a lapse fall between record companies.
You didn't miss a lick.
I try not to. It's a tough business, and you really have to be paying attention to what's going on. So, I've never been, since I signed my first record deal with Warner Brothers, I've never really been without a label. And I was telling the guys at radio the other night, radio has been loyal and faithful, devoted to me. Never had problems with them. It's always the executives at record companies that you have trouble with. And, you know, and I've had worked with some great people, you know, in the past, really good people. But being able to see, have that vision, being able to see what you want to do, it's very hard to convince people.
Sometimes. You've worked with some good people and some pretty not good people.
Well,
going way back when.
I've worked with some not good people for a very short time.
Good. That's what I want to hear. One of the great hits of your career was a song which was written by an unknown songwriter at the time, who later blossomed to be one of the great talents of this time, of 88 and 89, who's just on a roll as an artist and a writer. And she wrote one of your big hits early on, called Round the Clock Lovin'. And we're talking about K.T. Oslin.
It's really a small world. Because,
wow.
Yeah. Jimmy Bowen asked me to produce K.T. on Warner Brothers. And at the time, I had just signed Gary Scruggs to RCA Records and a production deal, which later fell apart. But I'd made a verbal handshake with RCA on that. And Bowen came to me and says, Gail, I got this great female singer. I know you could produce her. This is a perfect act for you. Offered me a lot of money, great deal. And I listened to her stuff and I went, oh, this girl is great, but I've just made a commitment that I need, you know, I can't do it. And Jimmy and I were laughing about it the other day, you know, how it all worked out.
Did you, that Round the Clock Lovin' has to be a special song. Did you meet KT originally when she had written it or submitted it to you?
No, I was going through a box of tapes, 200 tapes that had been sent to me by publishing companies. And I was about to slip my wrist, you know, after 175 tapes. I was going, this is really rough. I'd had Blue Heartache, so the publishing companies had sent me every song that they had in their catalog with blue in it. You know, they do stuff like that. And along comes this song. And I pulled it out. It was sent to me by Chapel, a lady at Chapel. Her name just disappeared from my mind, who's now running Screen Gems in Nashville. Bright, really bright lady. She sent me the song. I put it in and I went, oh, wow. I mean, every line was perfect. And I wanted to cut it. And the Warner Brothers was very opposed to cutting the song. Mm-hmm. They thought it was much, much too assertive. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't need your hard-earned money, honey. I got right. money of my own. They didn't like that image. But with that song coming out, that sold more singles than I've ever sold before. And I picked up a whole new audience of young people. Young women, you know, the honky-tonk redneck girls had brought their boyfriends to the concert to hear that song.
Beautiful. The title cut of the album kind of exemplifies what country music is all about, with great stars, the Louisiana Hayride, where your dad appeared, and with people like Webb Pierce and Carl Smith and the Johnny and Jack and all the others. And the title cut kind of resembles that feel of the 50s and 60s, of the golden years in traditional country music.
Waiting Here for You?
Yeah,
it really does. It goes back to that, you know, that swinging, walking, you know. And I love that. I go back. I've always wanted to do an album of Webb Pierce songs, you know. Wondering who's kissing you. And, you know, just old rootsy kind of people. Sometimes I think the only thing that was happening in the 50s was Hank Williams. Right. You know, Johnny and Jack, they were really, you know, Poison Love and a lot of really fine artists back then. Carl Smith, who has been virtually ignored when it comes to the fine old singers of that era. Are You Teasing Me? And It's a Lovely, Lovely World. That's the kind of music I grew up on. And, and it's very hard for me, Lee, because sometimes I feel like country music demands that you pay homage to country music and never listen to anything else. And I'm sorry, but I listen to Webb Pierce and I listen to the Eurythmics.
That's the great span. That's the beauty of it, because you have the total appreciation for music in general, having all those influences as an input in your musical creativity as a writer and a performer.
And the other night I ran into Foster and Lloyd, who are my favorite group on the radio today, and I told them that. And they said, well, you know, we were really inspired by what you did with Wild Choir. You know, so I feel like that even though that time in my career did not the way we had hoped it would, it was something I had to do. And in my heart, I will always love that album. Is always going to be an outstanding album to me. But this is a whole other direction. And actually, three of the four musicians from Wild Choir played on this current MCA album.
Oh, that's wonderful. You mentioned Carl Smith, and you mentioned probably one of the, probably my all-time, not my all-time, but high on the list of the top five Gail Davis performances. As far as the feel, the arrangement, and what that song says, you took a country classic and made it a classic all over with "It's a Lovely World Today." Yeah. I mean, with the steel lick in between Emmy Lou and you, and she sang harmony on that.
Yeah, I was so intimidated when she came in, because I'm such a fan, as the whole world is, of Emmy Lou Harris. And since then, we've become good friends, and, you know, I would feel more comfortable. But I had never worked with her before, and she and Brian Hearn arrived at the studio. And I was producing the album, and she was singing the parts. And you know, if a part wasn't right, I'd turn to Brian, and I'd go, would you tell her to do that over? And he'd go, you tell her. You're the producer. And I go, gee, I hate to. But she was so beautiful. She was so gracious, and she's such a humble, lovely person. And that song has stood out in my career as one of the most fun tunes I've ever recorded.
One of the most unique things about "It's a Lovely World Today," your version of it, is not only the arrangement, but something that no other record or very few records have, as far as country radio and a disc jockey. There's no intro time.
Yeah.
It just is there.
Well,
no 3-second intro, no guitar licks to 7 seconds in, and the vocal hits. Yeah. You just start singing, darling.
And it's really going to be tough on this new single, because it starts off a cappella. And when we did New Country, it was really difficult, because it just starts off, I still believe that someday, a baby, we will love again. And so there's nothing except me singing. So y'all can't be talking. That's the only key. You can't be talking.
You've got to feel good about rejuvenation in the career right now, Gail. Also, the association, as you said, which you're so excited and pumped up about with Jimmy Bowen. And it's like a brand new career for you, like starting, like just the very beginning again.
The most exciting thing for me of all this is realizing that the radio guys have not forgotten me. And it broke my heart the other night, you know, because MCA, they didn't know. Jimmy himself admitted. He says, we had no idea when we put this record out how radio was going to respond. And when we were at the convention the other night, DJs were coming up to me, bless their hearts, in front of the president of the label, Bruce Hinton. And, you know, oh, we're so glad you're back, and we've missed you, and we love the new record. And it really made me feel like that it was like homecoming week. It was really wonderful, because I thought, well, they've got all these great new artists out now, you know, all these wonderful new girl singers, and Patti Loveless is one of my favorites. And I thought, well, they won't remember me, but they did.
Well, I don't think anybody could forget you. And also a very important part of your life is the young gentleman who was accompanied you, Christopher, your son, who is just looking beautiful, and he's just a darling young man.
He was asking if he'd get to say anything today.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get him to sing something for us.
Christopher, would you like to come over and sing something with Mommy? Do you think you could? I know you're over there. Christopher is here in the room, and he's playing with a computer and a calculator and having all kinds of stuff. How you doing, Christopher? What do you want to sing?
A song I just made up.
Oh, that's interesting. Can we hear it? Would you share it with us?
Yes.
Okay.
Look around the earth, you see there's lakes and beautiful things. You see flowers and trees in a garden. You see carrot patches and everything you know about. And that's the way everything goes around us.
That's wonderful. Gail, I think he made that up, and I think you have competition. It's in the genes as a songwriter, as a singer, as everything. Everything rubs off, doesn't it?
That's all he hears, you know. It's a sign on my office door. I wanted to tell you of an experience. Someone asked me the other night if it's difficult to juggle a career with raising a child. A single, being alone, it is. It's very difficult. He's in kindergarten this year, so I'm able to write and do a lot more. But the other day he came into my office crying because Lassie was being killed by a bear. And I was in the middle of a song. I said, Lassie never gets killed. It's okay. And he was in tears. Please come and watch. So I said, okay. So I went out. And by the time I'd finished watching Lassie, of course, I'd forgotten my song idea. But, you know, that's the little of the give and take that comes with having a career and a child in the same house.
That's wonderful. And also an inspiration, I would imagine, too, with Christopher in the house.
I just wrote a song, in fact, the other day, not being in love myself, sometimes I have to stop and think about how I'm going to write a love song. But he got hurt the other day, and I wrote a song called Come and Let Me Hold You, which is really written about him, but it sounds like it's written about a lover. So it is inspiring.
I'm so happy for the success you're enjoying today, Gail, and I'm sure it'll continue for a long, long, long time to come. And congratulations with your association with MCA Records. It's, me particularly, it's always wonderful to be able to sit and talk to you because we go back for so many years and with so many wonderful memories, both here and in New York and everywhere in between. And I love you dearly, and I only wish all that you wish for yourself.
Well, thank you, Lee. I really appreciate that you're, you know, taking the time to do this with me. And this morning I was thinking, Lee is such a great guy. I like him so much. And then I thought, well, I'm sure everybody likes Lee. So it's nice to be back. Thank you.
You're special. Good to have you. Thanks again, Gail.
You're welcome.
There is one very special lady, Gail Davies. Join me next week on Country Music Conversations when we visit with Earl Thomas Conway. Until then, Lee Arnold reminding you to stay safe and keep it country.